from education to employment and everything in between.
It's a clearinghouse for all things shale.
This is the Shale Gas News with Bill DeRozier, Rusty Fender, and Matt Henderson.
Good morning and welcome to the Shale Gas News. I'm Bill DeRozier, and I'm proudly broadcasting from the studio again.
Look at you, Bill. You're here in front of me.
It's been how long, DC, since you and I actually seen each other?
I think December was the last time you were here.
Yeah, well, yeah, I was trying to think back. I don't even remember it, to be honest. Yeah. And we were joking earlier in the week when I said, hey, I'm going to come up to the studio. We were joking. I was like, oh, you don't even remember where the studio is. And I drove right by it. I'm not proud of it. I drove right by it, kept going up the hill, and realized this isn't right, and turned around and came back down.
It's an easy place to miss. I guess, the secret bunker here.
Well, yeah. Well, people don't realize, and you've talked about this before, you kind of are old school. Your studio is up near the towers. Most studios today are down in the valley or in a basement.
Right, somewhere. Yeah. They put FM towers up on, like, the highest point, the highest mountain in the area, and then they built the studio, like, pretty near the tower site back in the day. So yeah.
Well, and this place even has a full-fledged apartment in the back, so you could live up here if you had to, because the radio must continue.
Well, we took the toilet and the shower out last week. It's freshly painted.
Well, it's good to see you again, DC.
Yeah, you too.
And thank you for allowing me to broadcast from my basement bunker.
Sure,
down
Bill.
At my house there.
Yeah.
Rusty Fender, he'll be on a little bit later. I don't know where he is. He's either working for Tesla these days, or SpaceX, or NASA, or PennDOT, or somebody in between.
Blue,
I don't
Orange.
Know. Has he moved again? Blue, yeah, one of those. So he'll be in a little bit. And of course, our other co-host, our Williamsport Bureau Chief. It's a tongue twister.
Sure,
he is in meetings down there with his other work, so he's not able to join us this morning. However, we got somebody to fill in for him today.
All right.
Good buddy of mine over at Cabot Oil and Gas actually runs the trucking division, I guess, over at GDS, to be proper. GDS is our sister company, wholly owned subsidiary of Cabot, that does everything from trucking, the construction work, Rostabout services. Rob Wagner, and you are the superintendent of the trucking division, so I am. Your title right?
Yep, thanks for having me.
I'm glad you're on the show, and apparently you had the longest commute of anyone today to be here, as you live right down the street from the studio.
I do. I could probably throw a rock at the property, yep.
Well, DC and I were amazed by the fact that we've never gone down that road. We thought it was a power line road, and Rob's telling us there's houses down there.
Yeah, it's unpaved and all that, so
yeah. I wouldn't venture down there. I'm pretty sure you end up in, like, Deliverance or something over there, like they're reenacting one of those movie scenes over there.
It's a project in the winter.
No, well, I'm sure it is. I don't like driving up here in the winter, and I have a truck. I don't know how DC does it in the Nissan there, but yeah. Well, we're delighted to have you on the program. GDS is a company we've featured many times on this program. Chad Gorman's been on the program. He always begs me to come on because I think he enjoys sitting in the studio. It brings him back to his college days. But GDS has a need for truck drivers and employees, but especially truck drivers. And you guys have a job fair coming up at the Lennox facility, which was recently constructed, 2 years ago?
Yep.
2 years ago to basically cut down the travel time for people from, say, Wilkes-Barre, Scranton, to work in the gas fields, because you can get to your truck easier, get equipped, and get out in the field. But tell us a little bit about what's going on and why people need to pay attention to this job fair.
Yeah, that's correct. We actually recently just doubled. We had 33 triaxle water trucks for the longest time. We have 66 now. So we built that second facility that you spoke about in Lennox. It's right off of exit 211, off 81, 2 miles from 81.
And right, more importantly, 2 miles from Bingham's restaurant.
Exactly. Best pies around. And yeah, I mean, that building being opened actually drew people from the Poconos. It's only a half hour, 40-minute drive. It's all local driving. Class B CDL with a tanker is what's required. We've got great competitive starting rates, day one benefits. Like Cabot, GDS does not leave Susquehanna County, so you're home after every shift. Not hauling anything hazardous. It's all new equipment. We're really excited to open back up like the rest of the world here after the pandemic. We've got about...
Well, and to be fair, you guys really didn't stop during the pandemic. Granted, you didn't hire anyone new during the pandemic.
Yeah, that was the hardest part for us, not having the ability to hire. Once they put us on a freeze, that was tough. So we have to fill about 50 driver positions now.
But with that being said, Cabot and GDS during the pandemic had work.
Correct.
Steady work.
We worked right through it. Yep.
And I think that speaks volumes to the energy industry and the needs of the energy industry. And for someone who's looking for a job in the trucking industry and maybe weary of, say, the ups and the downs of the energy industry. During the pandemic, we still were working.
Absolutely. Yeah, the drivers were very thankful. There were some nervous times for sure in the beginning. Everyone was wondering what was going to happen with the state, with the government. But no, we stayed right open the entire time. The drivers had normal paychecks through the entire pandemic.
Well, that's exciting stuff. And you were talking about the fleet of trucks that you have. I think you have a mix of some Peterbilts and Kenworths. Our sponsors of this program, good friends of the program, Kenworth of Pennsylvania. I'm actually going to stop in and see them after we record the interview today.
Yep.
Because I'm up in the studio and they're just down in Dunmore. But it's always great to see those brand new trucks rolling down the road all the time.
Absolutely. We're actually in the process of swapping out the oldest 15 for 15 new ones now. So we only get 2-3 years out of them and swap them out for brand new. So it's all brand new equipment. We have a 24-hour open shop in both our Lennox facility and our Montrose facility. So they're well maintained every 400 hours, they're serviced. So it's a really good program we have up there.
And it speaks volumes, I think, to the company and what you guys have built. And the idea is, again, it may sound boring from the idea that we're hauling water, right? You're going to the water withdrawal points, you're bringing it up to hydraulic fracturing sites. I like to think it's not that boring because every couple of weeks, the frac site's moving, the drilling rig's moving, everything's moving. So it's really never the same thing after a few weeks. But at the end of the day, you're in the best available equipment, and you guys just talked about it. You're not going to have to worry about your truck breaking down, and then you have to figure out how to fix it, and you got your boss yelling at you and everything. Cabot and GDS make everything as easy as possible to continue this job, even during a pandemic, even during the winter, even during the summer. The operation continues to roll, and we do what we can to invest in the drivers in the company.
Yep, that's correct. We actually ventured to be able to hire right from schools, which a lot of companies aren't able to do. We developed a very good mentor program. So right out of school with zero experience, we actually bring these drivers on, and we're training in cab for upwards of 2 months before they're ever on their own. By the time they're off of our mentor program, they're completely confident and they're fantastic drivers.
And you hit on a point that's something that just drives me nuts. I've worked with the Susquehanna County Career and Technology Center and a variety of companies, including, you know, GDS, but other companies we work with up in the field, RHL, SGSF, Diaz companies, to build that school up in the northern tier to train drivers, both Class B and Class A CDL drivers. But it always drives me nuts when company says, well, we can't hire you, have no experience. How is somebody going to get experience?
Exactly.
So it's great to hear. Tell us a little bit more about the mentorship program, that idea that even if you're a new driver or you've never done water truck driving, as long as you have that B and that license and a work ethic, that you guys will do everything you need to get you equipped,
yep,
both
we actually
mentally
just,
and physically.
We actually just went up there and visited the school, and we're going up there in a couple of weeks. They're starting another 2 week. In 2 weeks, they're starting another program up there. But yeah, we have a group of half dozen mentors that actually volunteer to mentor. We're not saying, hey, Bill, come on over here. This is the new guy, John, and you're going to be stuck with him for the next month. Oh, man, I don't want to do it. It's not like that at all. They want to see you succeed. They volunteer to be a mentor. They're veteran guys. They've been with us for 6, 8, 10 years. And you're sharing the cab with them. You might just be a passenger for the first week or two, just learning the area, learning what every switch and button and valve does. Very in-depth training. We've got a binder that the drivers have to go through with the mentor. By the time they're off of that program, they're fully 100%.
And I know people have asked confident. This during that program, it is paid.
Yes. Yep. Any training at all from day one, you're paid your normal rate, whether that's just the first couple of days when you're going through safety training and HR and payroll, or when you're just sharing the cab for your month or two of training. There's no difference in pay. Everything over 40 hours a week is overtime. You're still getting the same rate.
And you guys make it easy to transition from something else, whether it's starting a new career or maybe leaving another company that you've worked at to come work for this one. The idea is that we want to make it as easy as possible to help facilitate that change.
Correct. Yep.
Well, tell us a little bit more again about the job fair. You got August 13th and August 14th. That's a Friday and a Saturday. Looks like 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. And then Saturday's a little 11 o'clock to 6 p.m., actually about the same time frame. Just tell people about what's going to go on there, what they're going to get if they show up and come.
Yeah, so what we're looking for, as Bill mentioned, truck drivers, first and foremost. We're looking for roustabouts or general laborers. That's just an entry-level position, so really anybody can apply for that. We're certainly in need for that as well. Mechanics to work at both our Lennox facility and our Montrose facility. And yeah, I mean, if you have your CDL, A or B with a tanker endorsement, we'll actually do on-the-spot interviews right there. We'll have some food there. We'll be cooking on the grill, having some refreshments. There'll be signs kind of pushing everybody towards the entrance of the facility. But yeah, we'll be there all day. Looking forward to meeting people and explaining the industry and having some right there on the spot interviews.
Well, you can't miss the facility. You can see it from the highway.
It's true.
If you can get to Bingham's restaurant and pick up some pies, either go into the open house or on your way home from the open house, I think it's worth a trip up there. You can learn more about it at gassearchdrilling.com. And the phone number for GDS is 570-278-7118. And I'm sure anyone that you get a hold of there will have information about this. You can contact Rob. You can contact our friend Chad. You can even ask for Luann up there, who oversees all the HR, and they can get you set up with it. So again, Friday, August 13th from 8 to 4, and Saturday, August 14th, 11 to 6, GDS Open House Job Fair. Come up there. There'll be food and refreshments and on-the-spot interviews. And Rob, thank you so much for joining us here today. We're going to hit a couple of news stories before we end this segment.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
To our second guest, of course, and we'll have to have you on again to talk about how the job fair goes. U.S. natural gas off to the races on strong LNG demand. Mexico demand also leading this as producers continue to practice discipline. U.S. natural gas demand and prices are off, driven by the convergence of supply and demand-related factors. These are exciting things as you're starting to see natural gas both here in the basin, but also across the country at the Henry Hub, where pricing to increase. And then, the ability for drillers to be patient and not rush to fill that supply and demand curve is allowing companies to enjoy these stronger prices, which are still, when you looked at 10 years ago, still very affordable. But they're allowing the energy industry, after a couple of tough years, to kind of balance out and collect some money and make those investments where they need to. U.S. continues to be a leader in global petroleum and natural gas production. World Pipelines reports that the EIA is seeing that more petroleum and natural gas was produced in the United States than any other country during 2020, a trend that began as far back as 2014, despite year-over-year declines in record high production in 2019. U.S. petroleum and natural gas output in 2020 totaled 66.9 quadrillion BTU. That's a word I've not used on this show. Quadrillion, wow. BTUs. And that's more than Russia at 45 and Saudi Arabia at 26.5 quadrillion BTUs. Craziness. Let's see, what else do we have here? Extreme weather events justify more coordination between electricity and natural gas sectors. We talk about this on the show all the time, and something that I just don't think people appreciate, especially when they're saying we need to go 100% solar and wind, 100% green. We need to go away from fossil fuels right away. Well, the reality is we can't, especially because of things like this. But the story from Daily Energy Insider reports that there's a technical interdependence between the production of natural gas and the production of electricity, which in many states rely on the other to be produced, in a situation that's increasingly impacted by the ongoing and more frequent assault of extreme weather on both systems. The interdependence of these two things from a technical standpoint is very important to focus on. And you might recall this past winter in Texas, where they haven't had cold like that in, I don't know, 40 or 50 years, the power plants shut down for a variety of reasons. A lot of that had to do with over-reliance on solar or wind power, which left a handicap, if you will, in the natural gas systems while working, around the clock, couldn't keep up with demand. It led to some brownouts, blackouts, things like that, that were, weeks long. But the reality is, when you look up here at that same period, we were experiencing extreme colds as well, and we didn't see blackouts. In fact, we just are set up and more used to it, and we have different policies and practices in place. But more importantly, and I think this is what I don't think people appreciate, we're diversified. The energy we're consuming here to make our electricity is from the Marcellus, is from this region. And if we were relying heavily on places like Texas, when they got shut down, we probably would have been hit also. Another thing I read interestingly this week, PJM, which we cite on the show all the time, is our grid representative. They oversee our grids in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Maryland, parts of Ohio, West Virginia. But they will oftentimes on their website show the fuel mix, and they'll also show how much power is needed. This week, it got pretty hot. And I know that because I actually was in the field, and Rob's over there chuckling at me because I'm not really a field guy. I don't go out there all that much. But on Monday, we had some corporate photography that needed to be done, so I was outside the whole day sweating. And it was hot, but I noticed on Monday and Tuesday, PJM forecasted such a large demand of power. I think it was like 140 gigawatts of power, 150 gigawatts of power. In fact, it was getting to their upper limits, if you will, and there was essentially a notice put out saying, hey, listen, don't worry, though, even though we're going to cross into an excessive amount of power, PJM is prepared for this. We've studied this. And I want to say back in like early 2000s, they actually hit a point of 160 gigawatts of power. So we've actually been far above that before this happened. But the biggest kicker was during that whole situation, natural gas, the swing producer that is natural gas, is the reason why we never had any brownouts or blackouts and everyone's air conditioned worked. In the morning, natural gas was producing somewhere around 30 megawatts of power, 30,000 megawatts of power. Nuclear was about 30 and coal was about 30. But as the day got bigger and hotter and longer and more people needed air conditioning and refrigeration and everything, natural gas I saw bumped up over 50,000 megawatts. It swung that much power in one day. And then when we were done with it around midnight, started to turn off. So that's the beauty of natural gas. That's why we continue talking about it on this show. And people just don't really appreciate why we have it. So even the more extreme weather that we have, you can find solace in the fact that, especially in places like Northeast Pennsylvania, we'll be able to survive that because of the energy that we have here. One last story here before we get the Fender's Fast Facts. Demand for oil and gas seen risen. We talked about that. Baker Hughes reporting. But big oil sales spree to cut emissions may leave fossil fuel assets weaker down the road. And this opinion piece. But what might have happened if Deepwater Partners had not been financially robust companies, but instead highly leveraged public equity-backed independents? Who would have picked up the tab in the face of that disaster? As the energy transition evolves, the story reports, companies across the oil and gas and utility sector are under pressure to commit to becoming net zero carbon emitters. But dates well within their operating lifetime of these assets make that kind of impossible. Sometimes these, basically what we're trying to say is these goals that they're setting are just too ambitious or the technology's not there. So we have to keep in mind, and that's what the essence of this story is, we have to keep in mind that the oil and natural gas industry, as evidenced by this week, as we needed more power to survive and live, needs to be a cornerstone part of our energy, even if we're transitioning to more solar and wind or more green energy power. We can't commit to moving there 100% right of way. It's going to be a long transition. So we should be embracing this technology. We should be embracing these successes that we have in the reduction of emissions, the implementation of new technologies, and we should stop vilifying these energy sources, especially during hot summer months and cold winter months. With that being said, Rusty Fender has joined us. Fender, what do you have for us this week?
And Bill, you like to imbibe with a lot of your political cronies on champagne for your champagne lunches. So on this date, DC, Wednesday, August 4th, Dom Perignon invented champagne. How about that? In 1693.
1693.
All right. A few fast facts about champagne, and I am a non-drinker. Champagne is merely sparkling wine with added sugar.
Okay.
There's a fast fact that'll be emblazoned in your mind, huh? How simple is that?
All right.
Yeast and sugar is added to wine for the second time for the second fermentation, making it champagne.
All right.
The cheapest wine, and they make champagne out of it by fermenting it twice.
Okay.
Really interesting.
All right.
The most expensive bottle of champagne, $2,700,000.
Yeah, of course.
Man. And the bottle had a 14-carat diamond ingrained in the design on the bottom of the lip.
Wow. All right.
Wow. How about that, huh? Sabrage. Sabrage is a term for opening a champagne bottle with a sword. It was only done in certain ceremonial occasions, and the wielder of the sword used the blunt side of the sword. So he held the blade and used the handle.
Uh-huh.
It was made famous by Napoleon and his army when they celebrated victories in battle.
Is that where they take the bottle and basically I'm pointing it at you and then I'm flicking
that
it.
That is correct.
Flicking
they
it up and then
flip it.
And it flicks the,
and flips the cork.
Flicks the cork up.
That
okay.
is exactly
all
right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. Very good.
Marilyn Monroe. Lord, we all love Marilyn Monroe.
Sure.
She took a bath in champagne. It took 357 bottles to fill the tub at a cost in 1952 of $12,800.
All right.
Man. Now, this is really interesting, DC. It can help prevent memory loss. According to brand new research as of 2018, so this is recent, 2018,
uh-huh.
1 to 3 glasses of champagne each week could counteract Alzheimer's disease and Parkinson's.
Wow.
How about that?
Consult your doctor for more info.
Absolutely.
to see if champagne is right for you.
We do not promote the consumption of champagne on this show, but merely you should check with your local physician.
Yeah, don't come here for medical advice.
Absolutely. The longest recorded flight of a champagne cork was 177 feet in the Guinness Book of World Records, 54 meters, more than half of a football field.
Jeez.
Man, hope you weren't looking down at that bottle when you popped that cork. Huh?
Lord, yeah.
The pressure in the bottle led it to be called the devil's wine. Early champagne manufacturers came down to their cellars to find that 90% of the corks had blown out and their wine was ruined in their champagne cellars. Yeah. They attributed this back then to spiritual beings. However, it caused many champagne makers to wear iron helmets to prevent injury.
All right.
Isn't that amazing?
Okay.
And there's one place that grows the grapes and manufactures the most champagne anywhere in the world, DC. Can you name that country?
France.
You redeemed yourself. The chalky, almost 100% chalk-like remains of ancient sea creatures from the biblical days is actually the soil for Champagne's grapes in the mountains and the Champagne region of France.
Wow.
It is now an ancient prehistoric sea. It's now a desert. The perfect foundation to grow grapes is chalk.
How about
that's interesting, huh?
Wow. All right.
Some fast facts about champagne this week, DC.
Fast, fun, interesting, all of the above. All right. Thank you, Rusty. This is the Shale Gas News with Bill DeRozier, Rusty Fender, and Matt Henderson. And I'm DC Taylor. Please stay here for more.
Why are natural gas pipelines important?
The most efficient and effective way to safely move natural gas is through a pipeline system.
We're constantly monitoring our systems and making sure that we're operating in the most reliable and, most importantly to me, the safest manner possible.
This system, over its life, is 99.9997% safe.
Cabot Oil and Gas Corporation, producing abundant opportunities.
Get your new roof installed with Green Rhino Builders. Call 844-900-GREEN now to get your free estimate. They service all of Northeast PA. Green Rhino Builders can meet you in person, video chat, or even speak over the phone. They can even get you an estimate without stepping foot on your property. Call 844-900-GREEN now to get your free estimate. That's 844-900-GREEN now to get your free estimate. Green Rhino Builders can even finance your new roof for as low as $79 per month. Does your roof have damage that may have been caused by the weather? Green Rhino Builders is the first company in NEPA to work with all of the major insurance companies and can help you get your replacement roof for only the cost of your insurance deductible. Call 844-900-GREEN now to get someone from Green Rhino Builders out to your home to inspect your roof. Call Green Rhino Builders, 844-900-GREEN, for your free estimate today. Online at greenrhinobuilder.com.
Yeah, the benefits are very good. The benefits are all day one here. The dental, health, vision, everything is top notch. Everything is very good.
Drivers wanted.
The 401k plan, we have a 6% matching program. The medical, there's a health spending account, and you could use that for co-pays. You could use that for prescription drugs. You could use that for anything just to help along with deductibles. And then you could put in from your paycheck, it's tax exempt, you could put in so much bi-weekly, and then that helps out too, because it is before taxes. So.
If you're looking for steady year-round work with a company that cares about you and your family, at GDS, you will drive locally and be home after every shift. Get all the details and advance your career with GDS, a division of Cabot Oil and Gas, where you'll drive the newest fleet on the road.
The steady schedule, the 4-2 schedule for a driver, a 4-2 schedule is great.
Gas Search Drilling Services. Get the phone number at gassearchdrilling.com.
Lindy Corporation is a pipeline and infrastructure company, and Lindy is proud to work in the Marcellus region, towns and cities, and beyond. Apply at lindyco.com. And remember, if Lindy wasn't hiring yesterday, chances are we will be hiring tomorrow.
Are you a truck driver looking to earn $1,000 to $2,100 a week with full benefits? Well, Eastern Freight Systems and Tunkhannock are seeking local, regional, and OTR drivers. They even have an oil field division with lanes based in both Tunkhannock and Pittston, PA. They're looking for motivated drivers who are looking to earn good money to join their team. A clean MVR with professional driver training or experience are required. Come join the growing team at Eastern Freight Systems by calling 570-836-8050.
If you're in construction or the gas industry, your team's getting it done 24 hours a day, and so is BX3. When you're working, so is BX3. They're your prime connection to parts, tools, and equipment rentals. If they don't have it at their Montrose or Tunkhannock locations, they'll find it for you, somehow, some way. Trust me, they know people who know people. They're the relentless problem solvers. Call BX3 in Tunkhannock, 836-3000. In Montrose, it's 278-7368. Again, Tunkhannock, 836-3000. Montrose, 278-7368.
Welcome back to the show, Gas News. It's my pleasure to introduce Chris Heck. He's the president and CEO of the Pittsburgh Airport Area Chamber of Commerce. He's somebody I've known in the industry. He's been a good friend of my boss, George Stark. And when I go out to Pittsburgh, we catch up. And I thought to myself, you know, a lot's going on in the Pittsburgh area. We had Josh Kale, Representative Josh Kale, on last week to talk about some exciting things with Shell. But I invited Chris Heck to join us today. Chris, thank you for joining the program.
Bill, it's a pleasure to be here, and thank you for having me.
Well, we were talking in the week leading up to this interview about all of the different things that are going on out there. But before we dive into that, please help our guests or our listeners understand who you are and who you represent, because people are probably saying the Pittsburgh Airport Chamber?
Yeah, sometimes there's a bit of confusion that we might be attached physically to the airport itself. But a little bit of background. I am the president and CEO of a legacy chamber that's been around for little over 100 years. There's a lot of history here with this Chamber of Commerce, and we are what's called a regional chamber. So our footprint is covering 31 communities, 17 municipalities. They're all connected to us one way or another through membership and through a lot of advocacy that we do in the area. But from a physical footprint, if you are familiar with our area, once you come out of the tunnels in downtown Pittsburgh, you'll be in a small community called Green Tree, Pennsylvania, and that's the beginning. And it goes all the way out to Monaca, which is where the Royal Dutch Shell cracker is right now. So it's a large footprint, and we are fortunate enough to be engaged with just under 1,000 companies that are currently members of our Chamber of Commerce, and just proud to be a part of the local business community here.
And it's something I've spent some time in that area, because Cabot's office out there is in that airport area. So I always explain to people, they think we're in downtown Pittsburgh. We're not. I always say we're out by the airport, because it's really two different distinct regions, if you will.
It is. It is. And if you look, again, if you look at a local map or a map, you'll see that the Cabot office itself is right in the heart of the airport corridor. I believe there's just over 100 local employees here in the area with Cabot. And yes, George Stark is a board member of our chamber, and we work very closely with not only Cabot, but the local energy community.
Well, great. You and I were chatting, I can't tell you how many times we've chatted, but we were chatting about how energy has really defined that area, that region that you guys represent out there, and it's become a catalyst for so much growth. Take us through some of those things that you've seen over the last, you know, decade in that region.
Yeah, it's probably a good idea to take a quick stroll down memory lane for a minute, because we all know about, I guess the industry now calls it the Appalachian Basin, and we still call it the Marcellus Shale area, and for nat gas. But besides that, in the airport area, in 1992, it was a sparkling brand new airport was built, and that was about a mile from my office here in Moon Township. That airport was designed for a certain agreement with U.S. Airways at the time to be a hub airport. Fast forward after that, well, Let me back up a minute. That airport is built on 6,300 acres of land, which 4,200 acres of that land is deemed developable land. In other words, commercial development on those 42 acres is part of the overall plan. Now, fast forward to today. A few years back, believe it or not, it was not discovered, but it was indicated that there is the opportunity on the airport property to pull nat gas out of the ground. So there's currently two ongoing drilling sites on the airport property that pulls up natural gas, and that commodity right there was able to, there was obviously a large amount of funding that, that took place right there. So it's almost like a built-in piggy bank for the airport authority. Once they signed agreements with the various drillers for that particular site, and it was an opportunity to move forward with various projects. So, fast forward to today, we've got in the airport corridor probably four or five different areas that are directly related to energy, and that's why you opened up with that catalyst of growth, innovation, and change. In my mind, energy is the common thread of all that. So first, you've got the Royal Dutch Shell cracker, which is 13 miles away from the airport, and you could just imagine what that is going to do in terms of the future of not only the energy industry, but the plastics and the coatings and all those different things that the Covestros and the Lanxess and all those companies are engaged with directly. Besides the Shell cracker, we have what's called the Southern Beltway. The Southern Beltway is a connection that is happening in about 3 months that is directly from South Point, where all the energy companies are down in Canonsburg, directly to the airport. So that is we're all waiting for that connection to happen because it's an incredible opportunity for commercial development along that stretch of Turnpike directly in the energy corridor. And that's what we call the ECIC, which is the Energy Commerce and Industry Corridor. Then, of course, the big project is the TMP project. The TMP is the Terminal Modernization Project of the airport. So the airport itself will be, and we just broke ground on this $1.3 billion facelift of the airport, will be completely changed. And the energy community and energy itself is playing a huge role in that transformation of an old, financially distressed airport that was built for a certain reason to a much more cost efficient and cleaner airport, if you will. It's a huge project as a giant employer of at least 6,000 tradesmen, or closer to, I think, 10,000 when the whole thing is underway. And finally, on the airport property itself, we have the first energy microgrid. Now, that microgrid is a And it's up and going. We just had the ribbon cutting. It's all connected. And if you understand the relationship, this microgrid will actually be using both solar but primarily natural gas to generate electricity off of the grid, directly powering the new airport, and there'll be excess capacity to either sell off or use in the local community. So with all those projects going on right now, the microgrid itself, and I'm remiss to leave off one more. On the airport property, we just formed advanced manufacturing, additive manufacturing community called Neighborhood 91. And Neighborhood 91 is another project right next to the microgrid that will be using all the elements of 3D printing in one sole space with about a dozen companies participating in that. So that's something that is very unique, and Wabtec and a number of companies have already actually started operations there, and it's very exciting for us. But back to the microgrid for a minute. Maybe that's something that we might want to have a jump in and talk about a little bit.
Yeah, let's develop there. But before we jump in there and say that, I just want to say you got a lot going on, and I've seen most of this firsthand in my travels out to the Pittsburgh region. Everything from, you know, new highways being built to the Shell cracker plant to just the development, the build out of the land in and around the airport, the development of the natural gas there. So I will say that if you're listening to this program at home or as you're traveling, if you ever make your way out in Pittsburgh, out to that region, stop and take a moment, take it in, and just see what really economic development looks like. Billions of dollars being invested out there. And I do appreciate you taking that time to explain all of those different tiers of development that ultimately lead us to the microgrid, which is a really exciting prospect, something I think the world, or at least the country, needs to see more of. And of course, a microgrid, for those who aren't too familiar with it, the idea is you're making all of your power locally, and you're using that power locally instead of relying on transmission lines and relying from power generation from farther away. So it gives you reliability. There's cost savings. There's increased accessibility. Sometimes different manufacturers or different businesses need different types of electricity, and it's a little easier to do that type of work locally versus trying to retrofit an existing substation or power lines. So it's just really exciting. And then you could get into the arguments about how it saves on emissions, how it prevents line loss, which is basically electricity that we generate far away that never makes it to anyone. So these are all exciting things, and I hope Pennsylvania does more of that. But Chris, please tell us a little bit more about the microgrid and what impacts you're going to see from it.
Well, when you have a partnership with a utility, Peoples Gas, and their engineering folks working directly with an air. So we here in Pittsburgh, the airport itself is managed by the Allegheny County Airport Authority. That authority worked directly with Peoples Gas in developing the strategy, in developing the engineering of the whole thing, and the connectivity of the microgrid. So when you have a partnership like that, you don't have to rely on outside sources, to put this whole thing together. So for us, when we first learned about this, about 2 years ago, we had no idea what the impact would be. But if you look in the aviation community itself, and you look at the international airports across the country and actually internationally, they've all had power outages at one time or another, and they were catastrophic power outages. This is a redundant mechanism that not only will it be powering the airport, but the whole thought of a drop in power in at an airport, you can see how that would be an opportunity where it's covered, it's protected from that. And we had here at the chamber, we had a number of presentations given, very detailed presentations given by both Peoples Gas and the engineering team at the Allegheny County Airport Authority on how this whole thing works. And it's fascinating to understand how a microgrid like this is actually, with generators and natural gas and solar energy, are all producing a huge amount of electricity right here in our backyard. So it's very exciting for us to be a part of this whole thing. And I just read an article in Forbes magazine 2 days ago that this innovation, that this is unique to the aviation community, and hopefully it's a template for others. I did learn, Bill, that at the Royal Dutch Shell cracker, they also have a microgrid there.
I don't
know how much of that microgrid will be powering the entire cracker. I'm not sure really how that works, but I do know that the local community in Beaver County right there will also be able to take advantage of that excess electricity generated by another microgrid just 13 miles apart from each other.
It's fantastic to see that kind of thing. And microgrids at industrial facilities aren't like a new concept. Over in our neck of the wood, we have the large Procter & Gamble facility, their largest paper manufacturing facility in the country, I think making toilet paper and diapers and things like that. But they have a cogen. Actually, they have two cogens to power 100-plus power of what they need out there. But I want to touch on something we can back up that you hit, and I think it's in everyone's mind. Actually, before I do, I just looked it up. The Shell cracker plant's cogen is going to be a 250-megawatt natural gas steam and cogeneration facility, according to the Times Online. I just found an article about that. So I imagine that's probably most, if not all, of what they need, because that's a lot of power.
That is. That's a huge amount of power right there. Yep.
So, and like you're saying, it's you know, 13 miles away from each other. But getting back to what we saw over the beginning of the summer, Colonial Pipeline shut down because of terrorists and, yep, and cybersecurity issues and all of that, right? And we saw certain states get hit with gas shortages, and it became an issue where you know, prices were spiking, supply was out there. What it demonstrated to me especially is our reliance on certain areas of the country for a product, like the Gulf Coast, producing predominantly all of the gasoline that those states were consuming. Pennsylvania's in a little different spot. We still have some refining capacity in the greater Philadelphia area, which I think helped, you know, insulate us from that hit. And we had Buckeye and Sunoco and Energy Transfer's products lines that kind of kept everything moving, or at least insulated us. But it goes back to this idea: what if there was more refining capacity spread out? Then the Colonial Pipeline getting shut down wouldn't be as big of a deal. The same can be said about electricity. What if electricity goes down, either from natural causes or terrorist-related cybersecurity threats? If you have more of these microgrids built out and they're distributed in different key areas, those things become less impactful, or maybe their impact isn't for a longer duration. So that's why I think it's important to see these types of things build out. And then what I think you're also starting to see are certain manufacturers of key products are starting to locate near assets like that, or developing their own assets like that. Prior to COVID, who thought paper towels would be such an important commodity? And people were rioting over it, right?
Right, right. Absolutely. It is a phenomenon that we never really thought would happen right here. And over the past, you know, two decades, we've seen innovation, we've seen the use of energy, and in particular natural gas, be a significant game changer to the economic landscape that we're looking at right now and in our near future. So we're very, very bullish here. When we have major corporations like the coatings guys at Covestro and LANXESS and all of those looking at the fact that, you know, the the broken supply chain of the plastics industry, when you're reaching all over the country for different parts of that, when a major portion of that will be right here in our backyard with these crackers and the whole mechanism of delivery of them, it's very exciting for us. And when we look at both energy, commerce, and innovation in a corridor here that just used to be based on some transportation issues, an airport, and what that's going to do to the local economy, this is a real game changer for us. And I think, there's politics involved, there's environmental issues that are involved, but all in all, I think the state, the feds, the local government, they're all working together to make this a sustainable and safe and economic, attractive for everyone. So we're excited about the future and what this holds for us.
Well, Chris, I want to thank you so much for joining us here today. We really appreciate it. Before we let you go, where can people go to find more information about your chamber, which is the airport chamber out there in Pittsburgh, and you yourself, if they want to get in touch with you?
Yeah, thanks. I would highly recommend that if you're in listening distance to our chamber here, paacc.com. That's our website. It's the Pittsburgh Airport Area Chamber of Commerce. You could search that. I am here and very much engaged in our local business community. I do participate on a number of boards in the local area, and my email address here is check@paacc.com. So love to hear from you. And we have a number of companies that are looking at this area to relocate and to add satellite offices because of all of this exciting commerce that's going on around here. So we are a hot spot, and it's a great position to be in, to be right in the middle of it all.
Well, again, thank you so much, Chris. We're going to take a quick break here on the Shale Gas News. Stay tuned for more after a word from our sponsors.
Cabot has been, a fantastic corporate partner because they caught the vision. We have a goal to end hunger in Northeast Pennsylvania by 2025. Cabot's contribution is helping make that happen.
I live in Springville. I'm a landowner in Auburn Township. They've treated me with respect, my property with respect. They do an excellent job. Everything has been neat. There's never been anything out of place. Anything that they said they were going to do, they did. They came to you and told you what they were going to do. They gave you a timetable. They followed that timetable. Do not be afraid to invest with these people.
Industries like Cabot not only helped and lent their support to the Dietrich Theater, but they reached out and asked how they could help in other ways. Cabot has shown us that they want to invest in our community, that they're here to stay, and they want to support us for the long run.
For more information, go to wellsaidcabot.com.
Environmental protection affects you no matter what industry you serve. Oso Wash provides the only certified clean solution you should trust for your vehicles. Oso is the only certified oil and gas industry clean tank washing facility in Northeast PA that's available 7 days a week. If it could get dirty, Oso can clean it. They're about 6 miles north of Tunkhannock off of Route 29 on Aldovan Road. 570-996-WASH and find them on Facebook. They are Oso Wash.
Are you looking for work in the gas industry? Linde Corporation is always looking for good people. Apply at lindeco.com. Linde installs water lines, sewer lines, and gas lines. We're busy in the Marcellus region. Apply for your next career at lindeco.com.
It's always a good time for Greenlee's Barbecue.
For all your meat eating needs.
Resist the understandable urge to drink their award-winning sauces straight from the bottle.
Although if that's your thing, we won't. small judge.
Greenlee's Bold and Spicy Pure Rebel Sauce, Ozark Hillbilly Sauce, and Sweet and Tangy Premium Finishing Sauce. Handcrafted and homemade. Yeah. You can order the sauces online and drool over the menu, too. Greenlee'sBBQ.com. Greenlee's Barbecue, Route 6, Tunkhannock. Look for the school bus next to Keystone Truck Caps. Greenlee's Barbecue.
Why choose Lackawanna College? Lackawanna College can give you the start you need. Spend 2 years earning your degree and go right to work earning a great salary. With 29 degree programs in competitive industries like culinary and hospitality management, petroleum and natural gas, and sonography, Lackawanna College can help you find your future. Visit lackawanna.edu for more information on how to apply or contact the admissions office at 570-961-7814. Why choose Lackawanna College? If you're looking to get ahead in your career or start a new one, Lackawanna College's Continuing Education Department offers a wide variety of certificate programs that are highly affordable and can help you get back to work quickly. Specialized training for workforce development and allied health careers is available, as well as the Lackawanna College Police Academy and the EMS Academy. Call 570-961-7813 for more information or visit lackawanna.edu. Find your future at Lackawanna College.
This is the Shale Gas News with Bill DeRozier, Rusty Fender, and Matt Henderson, and I'm DC Taylor. Coming up in just a few, we'll check out the careers, your potential careers, jobs in the gas and energy industries. It's the job segment sponsored by Lackawanna College. But right now, it's time for the top five stories of the past 7 days. Each weekday, Marcellus Drilling News locates and shares news from the Marcellus and Utica Shale. Over 50,000 people read MDN each month, so we use it as a barometer to tell us which stories people find the most interesting. MDN editor Jim Willis compiles a list of the top stories each week. Yeah, this week we have a summary of the top five most read stories on MDN, MarcellusDrilling.com, over the past 7 days. Coming in at number five last week, Central PA startup wants to help Marcellus transition to hydrogen. You can't pitch a stone these days and not hit a startup company targeting the hydrogen sector, hoping to catch the energy wave of the future. Hydrogen has been the, quote, future of energy for about 50 years now. A new startup in central Pennsylvania believes they have a cutting-edge solution to convert water, including wastewater, into hydrogen without using electricity by using a chemical process only. One of their target markets, the Marcellus Shale industry. According to founder and CEO of Gen Hydro, Eric Schrod, the company's primary focus is to help oil and gas transition. They are not trying to take over and push oil and gas out of the picture. This article describes the company and its revolutionary new process that you can find on MarcellusDrilling.com. Rusty?
It's amazing that, you know, for the 40 years they used hydrogen, even in dirigibles and things, you know, and then they got away from it because it was so highly dangerous and unstable. Now it's back again.
Now it's
everything
back.
Old is new again.
Everything.
It's amazing.
All right.
Number four, DC, Warren Buffett and Dominion cancel planned $1.7 billion Questar pipe deal. Now, 1 year ago in July of 2020, we brought you the bombshell news that Dominion Energy was calling it quits in the pipeline business, abandoning the Atlantic Coast Pipeline project on which they had already spent billions of dollars and selling its existing extensive pipeline network to Warren Buffett for $9.7 billion. Part of the deal included selling Dominion's subsidiary, Questar Pipeline, a pipeline system located in the western United States. That part of the deal, $1.3 billion in cash and $430 million in assumed debt, never consummated and now is officially dead. The larger Dominion-Buffett deal happened last November 1st. Everything except the sale of Questar Pipeline, which still needed antitrust approval by the Federal Trade Commission. The FTC continues to drag its feet, and it's not clear the agency will actually bless the deal. So both Dominion and Buffett have thrown in the towel. Dominion will now shop for another buyer for the Questar Pipeline, DC.
All right. Third most popular story over the past week on MarcellusDrilling.com. Nat gas power plants fire up at Shell's Pennsylvania cracker site. As the mighty Shell ethane cracker plant complex in Monaca, Beaver County, Pennsylvania, continues its march toward full operation sometime next year, another key piece has fallen into place. Shell reports that the 250 megawatt gas-fired electric plant that will power the mighty cracker was fired up yesterday. This was as of a couple weeks ago. All three turbines and that the facility produced and flowed electricity onto the PJM electric grid. It was a major milestone on the way to finishing the now 80% complete cracker complex. How is the Shell Cracker electric plant getting natural gas to power it? As we told you in January 2019, the Shell Cracker electric plant is fed via a 4.5-mile pipeline spur from National Fuel Gas Company's Line N pipeline.
Number two, D.C., Pennsylvania's five biggest shale drillers back in the game, permits soar in June. Now, according to an analysis done by S&P, Standard & Poor's, Global Market Intelligence, the five largest drillers in the Pennsylvania Marcellus Shale, resumed their drilling in June in a big way. S&P's analysis shows those five drillers were responsible for 51% of the new drilling permits issued last month, up from 28% of new permits issued in May. Perhaps we know why. The price of natural gas at regional hubs in Pennsylvania rocketed over the past month. At the Leidy Hub in the Northeast Dry Gas Window, that's centered on Susquehanna County, Pennsylvania, cash prices went from a low of 93.7 cents multi-million British thermal units on May 3rd to $3.07 MMBTU at the end of June. Now, the big movement back into permitting came from publicly traded companies, although our own research shows a fair number of permits issued to privately held companies, too. The state's five largest producers are EQT Corporation, Range Resources Corporation, Cabot Oil and Gas, Chesapeake Energy, and Southwestern Energy Company, DC.
All right, here you go. The number one most popular story on MDN over the past week. Belmont County, Ohio landowner wins $40 million trespass case against EQT. A relatively short jury trial last week in Belmont County, Ohio court resulted in a quick 3.5-hour decision in favor of a landowner against Rice Drilling, now EQT, and Gulfport Energy in a trespass case. The jury awarded the landowner, Terra LLC, owned by Thomas Shaw, a $40 million judgment. It's believed to be the single largest jury award in Belmont County history. Shaw leased his property to Rice Drilling 7 years ago. Rice further sold some of the lease to Gulfport. The lease language was very specific. Rice, now EQT, could only drill to and extract gas and oil from two rock layers, the Marcellus and the Utica. In researching state records kept by the Ohio Department of Natural Resources, Shaw discovered Rice and Gulfport were also drilling beyond the Utica into the Point Pleasant formation and extracting gas from that. Shaw sued in 2017. The case finally went to a jury trial a couple weeks ago, and there you go, $40 million. So those are your... top five stories thousands of people read this past week on MDN. If you'd like to keep track of the headlines each day, it's easy. Just sign up for MDN's free daily email at marcellusdrilling.com/email. And now time for the jobs segment, exploring your careers in the gas and energy industries. It's brought to you by Lackawanna College and their School of Petroleum and Natural Gas. Lackawanna College, where you go to find your future. Rusty.
D.C. Taylor, thank you. And in Pennsylvania, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania state job, looking for an oil, gas, and carbon storage geoscience supervisor. It's based in Allegheny County in the Pittsburgh area. Danos, looking for a lease operator out of Wellsboro. Henkels and McCoy, the line folks, looking for a gas utility laborer out of Bluebell, down in the Lancaster area. ROC Services Company, an experienced roustabout and general labor. Multiple positions available now. It's out of Washington, Pennsylvania. It's also out in the Pittsburgh area. Equitrans Midstream, looking for an environmental coordinator out of Canonsburg. The Montrose Environmental Group, an environmental technician opening out of Bridgeville. Aerotech, looking for a water transfer technician based in Canonsburg. And gas field specialist, an opening for a shop supervisor for the oil and gas division. That's headquartered in Shingle House. Now in Ohio, Tetra Tech, looking for a traveling LNG pipeline laborer, headquartered in St. Clairsville. Gulfport Energy, looking for an operator out of St. Clairsville. Utility Resource Group, a locating technician based in Jackson. Duke Energy, a gas marketing specialist headquartered in Cincinnati. Energy Harbor LLC, a natural gas structuring and pricing analyst headquartered in Akron. Got an opening for a natural gas utility project manager for Wolpert Incorporated, based in Perrysburg. And Utility Technologies International, a natural gas operator and a qualification evaluator headquartered in Cincinnati. Moving to West Virginia, Mountaineer Gas, an opening for a human resources representative for their corporate office based in Charleston. DTE Energy, an instrument and control engineer for West Virginia, and eventually, after COVID, for the entire United States. Temporarily remote at this moment. USA Compression looking for a field service technician on a Wellsburg. TC Energy, an opening for an applications developer in their IT department. That's out of Charleston. CJ Hughes Construction Incorporated looking for laborers and flaggers. 10 positions based in Huntington. EQT Corporation, an opening for a construction specialist level 1 and 2. It's out of Clarksburg. And Diversified Gas and Oil, a vice president of gathering and transmission pipeline operations, headquartered in Charleston. Check out New York State, Storti Quality, looking for a project manager for the natural gas inspection team for the entire Empire State of New York. New York State Electric and Gas and Energy Specialist opening based in Binghamton. Empire Energy, looking for well tenders. That's multiple positions available now out of Chautauqua County. Wellworks Energy, looking for a flowback operator for the entire United States. It's a traveling position, temporarily remote. NGL Energy Partners, a terminal operator for the oil and gas division out of Albany, and Area Energy. Openings for general laborers, 8 positions available out of Seneca Falls. That's up in the Albany area, state capital region. And those are the jobs that DC mentioned this week, sponsored by Lackawanna College, the School of Petroleum and Natural Gas, Lackawanna College, where you go to find your future. Thank you so much for listening to the Shale Gas News here on our network of stations every week, Gem 104 and their roster of stations, and of course online all the time at talkwilliamsport.com. And for Bill DeRosia, Matt Henderson, DC Taylor, I'm Rusty Fender. Thanks once again for listening to the Shale Gas News.